Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back. Welcome in hour two of Old School, 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. I'm Austin Orman. He is Jay Foreman. Glad to be with you here on Wednesday. Glad you're along for the ride with us as well. Hope you're getting ready to get off work. See plenty of traffic here on O Street driving by. Stop by, grab a cup of coffee at the mill here before they close, coming up at 5. Of course, open for you bright and early on Saturday. Get caffeinated. Get ready to go to your tailgates and get excited. Nebraska, Michigan, 2:30 kickoff from Memorial Stadium coming up on Saturday. JDP and I started having this conversation yesterday, but I want to get your thoughts on it as well. Just how big of a game is the Michigan game for Nebraska? Is it a Matt Rhule tenure defining game? Is it a validation game? Is it just a regular big game? What is the level of importance of this game as you see it?
I would say I'll take option 2 and 3. It's a validation game of what you've been doing for the last 2 years, and then obviously through the off season. So everything you've been saying, or you know, the perception, mm-hmm. you know, we're turning the corner, you know, we're ready to compete, you know, so forth and so on. And it's a big game. It's a big game, in my opinion, because it's Michigan. And I think the fans need to take this at the same approach as when we were either down, or go back to when we were potentially starting to go down. Whoever we were playing didn't care. Mm-hmm. You know, when whoever coaches that beat Nebraska at those times, Brett Bielema in the Big Ten Championship, that's what their agents used and put on their resume. It was like, I need to get paid. All the stuff behind the scenes or whatever, didn't care. It's like, this is a feather in the cap. You know, this is a blue blood win. So Michigan's coming in. They're right for the picking. We got them at home. They have a freshman quarterback that's, extremely talented, but, you know, very, very inexperienced. So you can see the potential there, but we're playing them, you know, right when we would like to play them, versus every time that we played. I felt, especially in our first few years in the Big Ten, every time that we played a big game mm-hmm. or needed a big win, mm-hmm. it wasn't an ideal circumstance.
It wasn't. And you think back to those early years in the Big 12, Nebraska's first game as a member of the Big Ten Conference was at the Big House.
Yeah.
Didn't go so well for Nebraska. Go to Camp Randall. Doesn't go so well for Nebraska. And in the first, 5 years, really, of Nebraska being in the Big Ten, the only time you beat Ohio State was when Tressel got suspended. Fickell was the interim. You had the Terrell Pryor go out with the injury.
It was after a rain delay. Or
a little bit of a rainy night, or whatever.
Thunder. Didn't it have a game stoppage for a little while?
Or was that I don't remember.
Because Levante David made the play.
Yeah.
And Bo was mad everybody left. Remember, it was cold,
right.
Rainy. Yeah.
That's right. Rex Burkhead on the school record comeback from down 21 points. And then you beat that Wisconsin team that was 6-6. Only for them to get their get back on you later, because Ohio State and Penn State were both ineligible. You lost those games. And then you build back up a little bit after the rough year under Mike Riley to start. You're 7-0. You go to Camp Randall in a top 10 matchup against Wisconsin. You're on the doorstep. Two picks in the last 7.5 minutes of the game. Can't get one first down to ice it. Wisconsin ties it. You end up losing in overtime. So I do think that there's something to what you're saying. And, you know, this doesn't have the magnitude of, say, a 1997 Nebraska Michigan game to it. It can't. Neither program is at that level right now. But let's go with the validation angle. What is going to be most important for you to see Nebraska validate against Michigan on Saturday?
Well, I think validation, you know, when you're trying to validate, I think that's everybody else's opinion. I guess what you're just trying to, I guess internally, if I was a player, is validating what I know and see on a daily basis, and that we are, you know, truly invested in trying to be a championship, you know, team and a player as well, right? This is where you...
So the process gets validated.
Yeah, and this is where you are, if you want to be known as a good player, you have to play good. You have to show up in these games. There is no other way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Not sure. It's like A.J. Brown, right? He was open probably 10 times and they targeted him once. That's understandable. Mm-hmm. But from a defensive player, you got to show up in this game. So I guess what you're validating is just I would think if I was on the team, I know the last two teams were, you know, essentially highly viewed scrimmages, but I would feel like we have done things and had done things. Part of where you're ranked right now is how you finished the season last year. Mm-hmm. So judging off the last three or four games in Nebraska, you know, in the bowl game, then you come in the offseason and how we played, obviously, you know, Cincinnati, whether you like it, love it, or hate it, that we should be a top 25 team. So that's one of the things you're validating, and people are getting the benefit of that. We're not. So, you know, you're fighting a lot of like things that you could perceive as out there, but more importantly, you're trying to validate, you know, essentially what they're going to validate on Saturday afternoon is how they practice.
Mm.
Because when you can show up to a game, now granted, obviously getting ready for a national championship game is a lot different than practice, but what you're really,
but should it be?
Well, Austin, you're playing in front of billions of people versus 100. It is different. That's different. How it's not different is you're showing everybody how you go about your business, ideally. Now, we've talked about extensively how I've seen things being coached, and then they go to a game, and one guy decides to do his own thing. I probably missed that at practice, or maybe turned a blind eye. I think you're just showing everybody how you practice. Are you physical? Are you penalty free? Are you, you know, finishing plays? I mean, those are the basis of how you're going to win games. You're not going to just come in most likely and just drop back, you know, 10 times and get four bombs against Michigan. It's just not going to happen.
I've heard a lot of people say that the crowd needs to be like it was for Colorado last year. And sure, go for it. But I don't think that this is Colorado 2.0 for Nebraska. There are two games that stand out to me that I think this is more similar to in different ways. In terms of style of play and just the way that the seasons ended and then you translated to the next year. First and foremost, Jay, this feels to me like a mulligan from Illinois last year. First conference game, comes at home, off a 3-0 start to the non-conference. Team that's going to want to be physical. Going to want to run the ball. You have your advantages over them. They have theirs over you. Nebraska had that game. It was back and forth, found a way to not win it at the end. It's unfortunate. Programs don't get mulligans like this very often. Not the same team. Illinois is definitely on the come up. Michigan a little bit on the come down, it seems like right now. But either way, blue blood Big Ten team, not Illinois, not college football blue blood, but Big Ten blue blood. You know, they know who they are under Brett Bielema, a coach like that. And it feels like the right time to get Michigan. Felt like the right time to get Illinois last year. You thought you had found yourself. They were still working on it a little bit. So first and foremost, it feels to me like Nebraska's got another chance to right that wrong from against Illinois last year.
You know, I'd like that comparison. And I think it's right on par. Before we get into that, the Colorado game, that's personal because of it's a deep, you know, I guess respect, hatred for Colorado. And obviously with Deion Sanders and, you know, his aura and all the players, it's totally different.
Yeah.
The only thing that's, I guess, the same is that you're celebrating national championships, you know, 94, 95, you know, respectively. But I think this is, like you said, this is a time to not only get a mulligan, but validate really long term, right? You could really take a snapshot if say this comes down to a one score game and you gotta you know, the last 4 minutes of playing the clock and possessions. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska, like, out won possessions Michigan. Right there, you do about three things. One, you probably, you know, stepped up physically, mm-hmm. right? Number two, you beat a blue blood. Number three, you won a big game because of all the, it's going to, you know, it's a national televised game. And number four, which probably is probably the most important, is like, oh, we actually see a tangible change in a program that has lost one score games, probably like
30 of them in the last 8 years.
Yeah, record book type, right? Mm-hmm. And you've done it periodically over the last 2 years, but now you do it against Michigan on national TV. It really validates, you know, some of the things you've been probably working on for, you know, two and a quarter seasons.
The other game that this feels like to me, not so much in terms of style of play, but in terms of you might be catching a team at the right time, is that, again, 2016 season, but against Oregon. They weren't who they were just a few years before. Chip Kelly off to the NFL. I mean, Dakota Prukop, their starting quarterback, minimal disrespect meant there. It was a top 25 Oregon team that came into Memorial Stadium. Still to this day, the last top 25 win for Nebraska. And we're going to talk about that more with Evan Blaine, who wrote a piece on that coming up. But even though that Oregon team finished that year 4-8, this Michigan team won't do that. I highly doubt that. But either way, you caught that Oregon team at the right time, and you kind of helped start their tailspin. You said, hey, this isn't the same Oregon team. Just because they have a number next to their name and we don't, we're actually the better team. Nebraska might be in that position with Michigan on Saturday as well.
Yeah, and I think they had Barner, the running back, and he was getting busy, and he got hurt. He was like the last of the Mohicans or whatever the other team. So I think it's, you know, I like that comparison too. Obviously, I think I really, really like the Illinois, but I think, you know, what Nebraska did against that Oregon team is probably validate some of the things that everybody knew was coming down the pipe. Mm-hmm. I think Michigan, this game and this team with more, it's not there yet. It can go both ways. And they're in the same position as Nebraska, like, kind of, right? Where they're trying to validate the way they ended their season. Mm-hmm. They already have the built-in excuse for the Oklahoma loss. Freshman quarterback and
first road game,
more than an upstart Oklahoma team.
Mm-hmm. Emotional for his head coach.
Right. And desperate. Mm-hmm. Really, and then a quarterback that played out his mind as far as Mateer, right? And so now you're like, okay, now we're more ready for it. That's what they're telling their players up there, and now they're going down here to really show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
You know, the way that they beat Ohio State and the way that they beat Alabama and the way they play on Saturday is more along Michigan, you know, reputation versus like on the downswing like Oregon. But if Michigan loses this game, or when they lose this game,
they'll be 2-2.
It will be. It could snowball this thing into a more rapid pace, considering now Moore being gone. Now that's like a double loss. Well, you messed up three times. Okay. One time we kind of got like a little slap on the hand. The second time you got a pink slip home. The third time, now you cost us a road game, and now we probably can't even compete for a New Year's Day bowl game. Forget the college football playoff.
Well, it's not like Sherrone Moore has answered all the questions about him when he took over for Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Those are still in the background. He's not in, not out of the woods yet. He's not in the clear.
Right. So all those questions, right? All the, you know, all the like quirkiness, the racing text messages, you know, all those things, like keeping a coach that broke in another coach's email. I mean, just doing just roguish stuff, right, in Ann Arbor. All that stuff not only comes to the out of the background, it comes to the forefront. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting called into, you know, border region. I don't know if they have border regents or whoever, the athletic director's office, and say, okay.
Well, maybe not Ward Manuel, because Ward's kind of in cover-up mode himself.
Yeah, but somebody's going to talk to him and say, okay, well, where do you see this team going? Mm-hmm. We have 8 games left. Well, what if he says, oh, I think we can win 4 or say 5. You go 7-5, right?
Hey, guess what they went last year?
7, right. But just say he says, okay, 6. Okay. Well, what happened? Then they'll be like, well, if you don't get 6, then probably our next conversation is going to be a lot different. Mm-hmm. Because they already have the built-in, like, for cause thing. Now,
that's just right over his head. As long as they want to pull that cord, that's working.
Well, every loss that he has, it's like, what is it, Hangman?
Yeah, another letter.
You lose in Nebraska, it's already CA. Right. So you're really, you start the thing to spiral. You're just like, all right, don't worry about getting to the E. I'm out of here. So, I mean, it's a trying time for them. I think initially he was their choice because he was willing to kind of work through it. And he kind of, you know, really stepped up, at Penn State and all that stuff. But I think now there's like a little bit of buyer's remorse considering. Don't think they hadn't looked at like Cignetti and how well he's doing. Even one of the coaches that they fired prior to hiring Jim Harbaugh, mm-hmm. and Rich Rod has resurrected his career at West Virginia. And then they're looking at the coaches pool. Okay, well, we got this guy. You know, how much more is we're going to get in trouble because he figures he's going to do something else again or let somebody else do something else again. Mm-hmm. He's not really recruiting well. Our offensive line isn't what it should be. Should he just be a position coach? So now they're trying to take him like Charlie. Remember like Charlie Strong at Texas? Mm-hmm. Now he went from Charlie Strong. He didn't win any other games, but he beat Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's not good enough. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'd be a defensive coordinator. Now he's not coaching anymore.
Kind of Willie Taggart at Florida State too.
Yeah. You go from the penthouse to the outhouse to no house like that. And it could all start with Nebraska. And I would, you know what? I wouldn't pick a better team to do it to than Michigan.
Indeed.
Hopefully. Yeah. That's
in the plans. Corey and Lincoln says Royce Freeman was the Oregon back that got
Royce
hurt.
Freeman. Yeah, yeah.
He was 5 for 31 before he went out. Connie Benoit, 6 for 100 and a touchdown for Oregon. Dakota Prukop, 20 rushes, 97 yards in that game. Taj Griffin went 8 for 68. And Tony Brooks James, there's a name, throwback name, 7 for 37. Oregon rushes for 7 yards per carry. Rolls up 336 rushing yards on Nebraska.
Yeah, it wasn't a dominating game defensively, but
it was. They went for 2 overtime.
Yeah,
and Nebraska held up.
And that just lets you know where they this game was kind of like, let's just go play around a little bit, play with our food, and your food's mm-hmm. spoiled.
Let's get to this from Texter 1255. I believe this is Bob. Jay, he says, I think this is the second worst matchup Nebraska will have all year. The worst matchup will be Penn State.
I mean, USC, the way that they're playing right now, is a hard matchup. Now the advantage, again, goes to us. I think the only hard matchup we have is, number one, is going to, or there's two, I think, is talent and where you play is Penn State, mm-hmm. right? I think Minnesota's a hard matchup is because you come from playing Maryland on a Saturday. So that means you probably will get back at like 8 or 9, and then you play at Minnesota on Friday night, which is essentially their Minnesota Open. They love Friday night game.
And those two teams are not the same game plan.
They play totally different.
DJ's kind of got your number.
It got your number, and the Gophers, even though they didn't look very good last week, they have a pretty good offense and defensive line. And so when you go from, you know, essentially a 11 personnel, that's one running back, one tight end, to 12 personnel, 13 personnel, or go big 12, 13, it's a different type of practice, but then also you're on the road twice. Mm-hmm. That's the only part of the schedule that's not ideal. You play USC at home. You go to UCLA, which is essentially will be a road or home road game for Nebraska.
Yeah.
At that point in time. And, I think this game is actually perfect for Nebraska. The only thing that's not perfect is that we played the two teams that we just played. But the fans would be mad if we played two ranked teams before and be like, oh, we're beat up.
Right.
Now, so, you know, I think the speed and change and, the speed of the game is going to be different for them. They played Central Michigan. You know, we're going to provide way more resistance, or we should, than Central Michigan.
But to your point, stay tuned for Whiteboard Wednesday, because there might be more on Central Michigan on that.
Central Michigan did some things. I was surprised how well. Now, they didn't score any points, obviously.
Yeah.
And so
the pity field goal.
Yeah. So I was surprised. I was surprised that they withstood to Michigan from a physicality standpoint, considering their, like, bell cow for a defensive tackle pace is at Iowa. He's starting at Iowa.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman.
Yeah.
So you have a power four guy on your roster, off your roster, in a Big Ten, you know, program.
You can develop. You can find guys.
And they pretty much went toe-to-toe with him for, you know, quarter and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, they had a big run, and they kind of found a little bit of a, you know, leakage there on a couple outside zones. But overall, when you're talking about lining up and they tried to run power, they tried to run quarterback G, they tried to run counter, it was no go. But then they found a little bit of opening with a little bit of outside zone.
Same or similar colors, not the same historical success. 1508 says, if the USC game is bad weather and or cold, I would be shocked if Nebraska loses that. Let me ask you this then, Jay. Is weather as a factor in a football game something we talk about the right amount? Do we talk too much about it or not enough about it?
It is a factor.
Tua approves that.
The Dolphins do in general. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You can't fault them, because you're down in Miami, like in this case, or California in USC's case.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. For you to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
And this wind in Nebraska is significantly different than any winds in California. It's brisk. It's more humid. It cuts right through. So It does play a factor. It plays a factor in special teams. You know, I'm assuming Nebraska's kickers will be able to, you know, you'll be able to go kick in the stadium and kind of project, you know, if we got a northwest wind or whatever, and play the wind a little bit more. More importantly, I think it's a factor with your coach. Mm-hmm. How you approach it as a coach or as a team. And it usually kind of embodies, you know, you take on the coach's personality. And here's an example. I mean, obviously, I know we aren't supposed to date ourselves, but my dad played for the Vikings for Bud Grant. Bud Grant, as you saw when he went out to, I think it was the Vikings in Seattle game, playoff game, he went out to the coin toss just in a t-shirt or like a golf shirt or something. Mm-hmm. So his rule was no sleeves, nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure the players would have rather liked to, you know, been well equipped, but that, you know, they took on that personality. So when they got teams like they, you know, the Rams or like Dallas or like, so, you know, say like if Arizona or whoever was playing, they were able to have an advantage. And so if it is a weather a game, or whether it's a factor, whether it's cold weather, wind, or even if it's just one of those like humid, like a brisk, like fall day, the ball gets slick.
Gets heavy,
and they can't practice in it. It's not like they're going to come in and say, you know what, we're going to come in on Monday of the game, we play Saturday, and we're going to go and practice at the University of Kearney. They're not going to do that. No. They're going to come in and they're going to, you know, just roll the dice and see where it goes.
Makes sense to me. Let's go to break there. We'll talk more about this Nebraska-Michigan matchup. We got Evan Bland of the Omaha World-Herald. He'll join us on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. We'll do that, continue old school, and we get back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're rolling right along through old school. Austin Orman with you. As I said, we're headed to our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Aloe Fiber is where they understand the importance of exceptional service with local heart. It's 4:30 on a Wednesday, which means we're welcoming in the Omaha World Herald's very own Evan Bland. Evan, a happy Wednesday to you. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. Enjoying some overcast skies and the vibes that come with a big football week.
Big football week indeed. I'll start by asking you this. Just how big a game is this for Nebraska? Is it a game that all the eggs are in the basket, most of the eggs, some of the eggs? Just how big is Nebraska-Michigan on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge deal. It's one of those games that if you win it, it changes, I think, the national perception of Nebraska. It makes them a team to watch over the course of the next month, with the games they've got coming up against Michigan State and Maryland and Minnesota and Northwestern. I think it puts them, on the fringe of being a ranked team themselves, and puts them in the college football playoff early conversation. It puts you there if you win a game like that to start. I think if you lose, it continues the building process. I don't know that it means things fall apart. Sometimes that's happened through the years. You lose Nebraska's lost a big game like that, and there's been kind of a snowball effect that's continued on. I think the culture is stronger than that right now, kind of what they're aiming to do. So, you know, Nebraska could lose a 4-point game to Michigan, for example, and then still, you know, be a 7-1 team into the latter end of the season. So like, I think that's certainly a possibility. But there's no doubt, like the stage is set for this team to say that it's ready to elevate and take that next step. 2:30 on CBS against a ranked team that, won the national title 2 years ago. Like, it's all right there for Nebraska. And we've seen how they respond when they're playing overmatched opponents. And I think they've shown progress in that regard the last 2 weeks by staying relentless and keeping staying aggressive. Now we'll see if they can take that similar mindset into a game where they are a slight underdog, and where in the past lesser Nebraska teams have sort of shrunk in this spotlight. We'll see what this group's made of here real soon.
That we will. And to that point, does it feel like Nebraska is getting this Michigan team and this Michigan program at the right time? You mentioned it from the Nebraska standpoint, where, yeah, you're building to a game like this. Now can Nebraska go take advantage? But does it seem like Nebraska is catching Michigan at the right time? Is this a good time for Nebraska, do you think, to be playing this current version of Michigan?
I mean, it seems like it. Some of the circumstances, you have an interim head coach, so it's a program without its head man. And you just kind of think, like, what would that be like for Nebraska if they had to go into a game without Matt Rhule? Like, it would make a difference, I think. So, yeah, there's that part. There's the fact that as talented as Bryce Underwood is as a former five-star quarterback, it's still his first road contest in the Big Ten. And, you know, he learned some things at Oklahoma a couple weeks ago, but he's far from a finished product, just the way that Nebraska saw Dylan Raiola learn a lot last year in his first college season. So you have all that. It's a program that lost a decent amount to the NFL. You're still going to have a lot of talent on the lines. You know, their running backs is still about as talented as you can ask for, but it kind of feels like a program under Sharon Moore that's still trying to kind of figure out exactly what it wants to hang its hat on in the post Jim Harbaugh era. You've got an offense that kind of wants to run it, but they're a little bit more up tempo and you know, maybe a little bit more diverse than they were under Harbaugh. And so you're kind of working through that. And I don't think you can discount the Memorial Stadium crowd too. I mean, that's going to be a sellout that's very motivated to make a difference. And I think, you know, Dylan Raiola set the standard as the 2024 Colorado game, just in terms of intensity and what fans can bring. I think that's probably a pretty good place to start. We'll see if, you know, the atmosphere stacks up to that and maybe can make a little bit of a difference and help get Nebraska over the top.
I'm going to run the theory by you. It's the last time I'll throw it out there. People are probably tired of hearing it over the last couple of days. I get what Dylan Raiola is saying in terms of the crowd for Colorado, but in terms of the game itself, Evan, I go back to two other games I think are better examples for Nebraska. Number one is last year against Illinois. Kind of feels like a mulligan for Nebraska, where you thought, oh, maybe they can be ahead of schedule. It's usually year three for Matt Rhule, but year two, okay, they're 3-0 going into a game against an upstart Illinois team. Illinois certainly on the upswing. Michigan, like you said, still searching. Maybe not a downswing, but certainly not, assuredly trending in the right direction. And then the other game that comes to mind for me is if Nebraska is getting Michigan at the right time, a la Oregon in 2016, you know, recent national champion program, lost a lot of the talent, longtime head coach is gone. And even though it's not the same, you know, national championship caliber team, it's still the brand win that they could do Nebraska a lot of good. Do you like those two examples?
Yeah, I think you can make a case for those. Those are both ranked opponents for sure. Another one that comes to mind for me would be like 2020 Penn State. Even though that was not a ranked team, that was a significant win, maybe one of the best in the Frost era, just in terms of brand recognition and how that can buy you a little bit of credibility there. So, yeah, I mean, that Oregon win went a long way for them. The Illinois had Illinois gone the other way, had they connected on a pass or done what they needed to do in overtime, like that could have shifted some of the momentum and certainly the early perception of what Nebraska wants to do. And, you know, I just kind of think like, what are things every year that Nebraska can do now to have like show tangible progress? So like a year ago, it was, you had to end the bowl drought and they did, and they ended the losing streak to Wisconsin. So like, those were two things that you could point to and say, okay, there's some significant progress here. I think beating a ranked team is right up there this year. When you talk about going way back to that Oregon game in 2016, they haven't had that moment where they can just celebrate a significant win over a team that's really good in the moment. They've had a few decent wins. That 24 Colorado team ended up being ranked later on. But, you know, I think that's just one of the things that Nebraska fans in particular have just been craving. I mean, you look around the country and every week you see somebody storming the field somewhere after an exciting win. And, you know, if you're a Husker fan, you see all the resources put into the program. You're like, why can't that be us? Why can't we have that moment taking down somebody in a significant way in a meaningful game? So this is that chance. I'm not saying people will or should necessarily storm the field, but it would be one that would be as exciting of a win as Nebraska's had in a number of years. And I think, again, would be a clear sort of mile marker that this program's continuing to move in the right direction.
We're joined by Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. You can find Evan's work at omaha.com, including a piece, Evan, you wrote about the brand for Nebraska, the futility that the Huskers have shown against top 25 opponents. Husker fans probably know that it's bad. Just how bad are the numbers for Nebraska against ranked teams in recent history?
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, you're really your only peer in this top 25 futility is Rutgers, and their total's now at 41 in a row and counting. Nebraska's at 27 in a row. They're hoping to end that obviously on Saturday. But I mean, kind of like I was saying, like it's become, you kind of build it up in your mind if you're a Nebraska fan of like, wow, beating a ranked team would be a huge deal. And it would for the program in the moment, but you look around the country and it's just a reminder that it does happen. And it happens with you know, it's not an infrequent occurrence. Like almost half the league in the Big Ten beat a ranked team last year. You know, almost 80% of FBS teams have done it at least once since Nebraska's done it. And the teams that haven't done it, except for Rutgers, they've all had like half the opportunities or less that Nebraska's had. So like, you know, if anyone who follows the team can count off a bunch of almost, certainly the Illinois game last year, Ohio State last year, or two of the more recent examples. So it's not like they've been bludgeoned every time out. They've just, it's been whenever they play a top 25 team, it seems like it's been a reminder that Nebraska's not in that place yet. And they're either a little bit short, or maybe it's a bigger gap depending on what the game was. But I think you just think you put all that in context, that's what adds to a game like this. You know, if Nebraska had been a successful program the last 5 years, this would still be a big weekend with Michigan coming in with a number next to its name. But because it hasn't, and because there's so much, you know, desire to break through it, I think it just adds to, you know, what could be a really special night if they're able to finish on top of the scoreboard.
Again, go to omaha.com, click the Huskers tab. You'll find the article and the numbers that Evan put out there. I think to that point, Evan, the number that really stood out to me was the bullet point you said that every Power League team aside from Rutgers and Nebraska have celebrated a ranked victory since 2020. If you move the needle to 2021, it's 66 out of 71 power schools. You add Indiana, Cal, and Northwestern to Nebraska and Rutgers in not winning a game. And that's something that, again, offhand Husker fans feel like it's been a long time, but there's also been this feeling of, why not us, right? You get the random Pitt upsets over top five Clemson, right? Georgia Tech, you know, when Clemson was really rolling, pulls one off. North Carolina State here and there, you know, non-big name brand programs. And we know that Husker fans are used to Nebraska being the favorite and not having to be the underdog and being everyone's Super Bowl back in the glory days. But it does really feel like, and to your point, the data bears it out, that not only is Nebraska not pulling off those monumental, you know, top five upsets of Ohio State or Penn State or Oregon or whoever, Nebraska's not even beating the fringe top 25 teams like everyone else in the country is.
Right. And they've had opportunities. That's the other thing. It's not like they've only gotten, you know, like one a year. I mean, they've played in a league where you're getting the opportunity to play, you know, three, four, five, maybe ranked teams, depending on how the year goes. And they're probably going to get at least, certainly at least one more crack at it this year, going to Penn State. Maybe USC will be ranked in November like they are now. So the chances are there. And, you know, all the ancillary stuff is there. The program's resourced. They recruit well. They're obviously well supported by fans. Some of it, you almost just have to chalk up to luck, dumb luck. Like, yeah, that Nebraska at one point in one of those 27 games wouldn't have found a way to get it done, or had their opponent make some sort of critical mistake that would have turned it. I mean, Iowa so many times, multiple overtime games. You can point out a bunch over the years so that just one play here or there would have swung it. Now, would that have led to a breakthrough and the program being in a different spot than what it is? I don't know. Maybe not. But that's kind of the thing that we can maybe find out. If they can find a way to beat Michigan, you know, what could that mean just in terms of seeing process bear out into results? I think it seems obvious that the players believe in the process as it stands. But if you can validate that with a result on Saturday against one of the best blue bloods in the sport, you know, we'll see. This thing, it has long felt, you know, certainly in the last year, it's felt like this thing could snowball under Rule, where if you just get that one big win, things could start rolling and all the other things are in place. And, you know, it remains to be seen. A lot of the season's yet to play out, but at some point there's got to be just a little nudge or something to get things going. Maybe that's this weekend.
Certainly a world in which Husker fans are hoping that two wrongs can make a right. Nebraska's record against top 25 team and Matt Rule's personal record in games against top 25 opponents. It's not often that the two wrongs can make a right, but, you know, maybe two negatives can indeed turn into a positive for Nebraska. Evan, when you look at Nebraska and what it's trying to validate, is the process, the behind the scenes, the build, the climb, the grind, whatever you want to say, is that what's most important that Nebraska can validate this weekend, or is there something else?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've gone out of their way this week to say that it's about the challenge of the Big Ten and Michigan's just the first game, and that's certainly true. Like, if they win this week and lose the next two or three, like, it doesn't always matter that much. I think what they've been trying to find is just that consistency that's eluded the program, and you're not going to find that in the circumstances, at least not reliably, right? And that's why I think it was so encouraging what these last 2 weeks have been, where in the second half they're pummeling Akron and they're pummeling Houston Christian, and they're not succumbing to what would seem like human nature, where you say, we got this in the bag, we're going to let up. Like, they've been motivated more internally by putting quality reps on tape and by chasing something closer to perfection than what they are. And so, like, if you're self-motivated, if you're going against yourself, then suddenly the fourth quarter against HCU has a little bit more urgency, because you know that your chances on the field are precious and finite and all the rest. And so I think that's still true with Michigan, where certainly the caliber of talent and opposition goes up, but you're still out there trying to be the best version of yourself. And I don't think Nebraska always operated in that mindset. I do think in the past it was just try to stay even, try to ignore the huge challenge over here and don't get too caught up in it. And I don't think it always worked that well. But when you hammer in that it's about yourself, that it's about the craft and the process more than the opponent, then I think you're in a better headspace. And again, we'll see how that bears out. We saw it on one end of the spectrum the last 2 weeks, and we'll see how it goes against the Wolverines.
Let's say Nebraska wins on Saturday. Evan, do you think it will be more due to an offense that finally was able to break through against an elite or borderline elite defense in Michigan? Or do you think it will be more because the defense rose to the occasion, answered a lot of the questions in terms of how it defends the run?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I think there are, like, pluses and minuses to both sides. You know, I wonder how Nebraska's defense is going to stop Bryce Underwood, particularly in the run game. And I wonder how Nebraska's going to run the ball consistently. Emma Johnson's been really good, but that Michigan defensive front, I think, could be a challenge, especially with Nebraska having a quarterback that's not nearly as mobile as what Oklahoma showed a couple weeks ago. I guess feel like this is maybe a game where the offense can score some points. I don't think in a lot of the more recent matchups between these two teams that Nebraska had the depth of skilled players to hang. Oftentimes I think they do now. You have a quarterback in Raiola who's operating at a really high level. The receivers led by Dane Key and Ja'Cory Barney have been really good. I think you can get creative in how you get Emmett Johnson the ball. Maybe that's in the screen game. Maybe that's, you know, more of a sweep type thing. Maybe they do feel like they can run it more traditionally. But it feels like a game where you're probably going to have to score, you know, 25 to 30 probably to win the game. And for the first time in a while, Nebraska does seem to have the horses. So I'm going to say the offense and what Raiola has been doing can translate. And that would be the thing that would push them.
There you have it, breakdown of Nebraska and Michigan from Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. Evan, thanks as always for your time. Have a good rest of your week. We'll see you around.
See you, Austin. Thanks.
Evan joined us on our VIP line brought to you by Aloe Fiber. That's where they understand the importance of exceptional service with local heart. We'll put a bow on hour two of the show and get ready. Whiteboard Wednesday comes your way at 5. Get to stream Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Aloe Channel 961. Jay Foreman breaking down a lot in the Michigan run game. What will Nebraska need to do? That's coming up at 5, short segments, wrap-up hour twos after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.